بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه، مباركا عليه كما يحب ربنا ويرضى جل جلاله وعم نواله، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الحبيب المصطفى. أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: ثم جعلناك على شريعة من الأمر فاتبعها ولا تتبع أهواء الذين لا يعلمون. وقال: هذا بصائر للناس وهدى ورحمة لقوم يوقنون. الجافية. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. As we've been discussing in the last 2 weeks, we are discussing the aspect of akhlaq in our lives, and how to reform ourselves is actually the answer to our ibadat being perfected for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our mu'ashara, our social life, to become more reformed and to be more superior than what it is today, for us to feel safe and secure in whatever we do. All of these things, they're all based on the akhlaq of every single individual. If the akhlaq, if the morality, if the personal character of each individual in the world, whether he be a leader or whether he be a normal subject, whether he be living in a country under a normal role, whether he be the imam of a masjid, whether he be a normal person, whether he be a scholar, regardless of whatever he may be, the character is something which each one of us and every single person living on the face of this earth needs to rectify and to reform. Once the character is rectified and reformed, once the faculties which are inside us, once they become balanced and they all fall into proper proportion, then we can say that this person has become a full human being, an insan, as we spoke about last week, that an insan is not just made of flesh and blood, but the insan is actually what he is inside him. Because regardless of what his outer physical self is, the outer physical self, basically all it does is it reflects his inner self. If the person is good inside, if all of his faculties inside are in proper proportion, then his outer deeds will also be in perfect confirmation with that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, he says, ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاكَ عَلَى شَرِيعَةٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ فَاتَّبِعْهَا وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Which means that we put you, speaking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, addressing our Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that we put you on a particular way, on a particular route. فَاتَّبِعْهَا, so follow it. وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, and do not follow the path of those who do not know, the path of those who are ignorant. This was a command and an instruction to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and today this serves as an instruction to us, and over the years it has served as an instruction to all Muslims and to all people, regardless of who he may be, regardless of what religion he may have come from. This is a command to all. However, it is the Muslims that try to follow this. Even within Islam, this becomes a command to say that follow the true Islam. Do not follow your whims and desires. Do not follow those who may tell you things from their ignorance. Do not follow the wrong things. Follow what the Quran says. Follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said himself or through his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And eventually, a few sentences down, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes off by saying, هَذَا بَصَائِرُ لِلنَّاسِ وَهُدًا وَرَحْمَةً لِقَوْمٍ يُوقِنُونَ. Three things, this Quran, this Sharia that I have put you upon. Sharia is the path which we spoke about in the first verse, that this is a Sharia, this is a path which I have put you upon. It is said, ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاكَ عَلَى شَرِيعَةٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ. So what is this Sharia? The Quran concludes, تَهَذَا بَصَائِرْ لِلنَّاسِ وَهُدًا وَرَحْمَةً لِقَوْمٍ يُوْخِنُونَ. That this is basair, this is huda, and this is rahmah. Basair is the plural of basira. Basira is the inner faculty of being able to observe the right and wrong. Not like basar. There are two words in the Arabic language, two terms. One is basar and one is basira. Basar is the physical capability of being able to see, our eyes, our sight and our vision. And basira is from inside, the intellect and our desire and the way we see things. It is said that in this Quran is illumination for you. Basair, illumination for you. Clear evidence, clear cut evidences. And then it says, wahudan,
And it is also a form of guidance for you to live this life, to reach the hereafter, to read Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to gain success in this world and in the hereafter. This is huda and wa rahmah. And it also possesses that which you want and which is your ultimate goal, which is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether this mercy be in this world or in the hereafter, when we will be standing on the day of judgment, when we will be standing in that tormenting heat, don't we want the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that day? Don't we want to be in the shadow that day when the sun will be so close to our heads? So this Quran and this Sharia will give us mercy and will help us attain the mercy in this world and in the hereafter. Let us understand this a bit more in depth. Any traveler, any musafir needs three things to travel. Number one, he needs to possess the capability to undertake this journey. Number two, he needs to know the way. He needs to be shown the way. He needs a map or some form of direction and guidance which will take him to his maqsood, that will take him to his destination. And number three, which is probably the ultimate thing, is he needs a reason to go wherever he's going. Nobody just wanders around. You need a goal, you need a maqsood, there has to be an ambition, there has to be a destination where people are going. These three things are important for any person that is undertaking a journey. The Prophet ﷺ told us to be like wayfarers, to be like musafireen, and to be like strangers. And this is a journey that we are taking. This is a journey towards the hereafter, towards the eternal life. This life is to finish. And after the so many years of barzakh, then we will enter either into paradise or hell. Allah take us all into paradise. So this is a journey we are taking, and the Quran and the Sharia gives us all three essentials for the journey. It gives us the basair, it gives us the clear evidences, it shows us the way, it gives us the capability to go. Number two, it shows us the whole route, it shows us the whole path, it gives us the guidance. And number three, it even gives us and tells us as to what our maqsood is, as to what our ambition and our goal and our ultimate desire should be. And that is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the Sharia, it has taken care of everything. All-encompassing, totally comprehensive religion. And this is why we are told to enter into Islam wholly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا ادْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً. Oh, people who have brought faith, enter into Islam wholly. Do not come into faith. Do not grow up as Muslims and still take things from other religions or other traditions or other ideas. But take what Islam has to tell you. If we will take everything that Islam has to offer us, then there will be no chaos in the world. There will be no calamities to befall us. Everything will be peace. If anybody is oppressed, then there will be people to help them in the right way. There needs to be a balance. We need to follow the Sharia fully and wholly. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such a perfect Sharia, He doesn't like it. He doesn't prefer it at all. In fact, He gets very angry if we are to take anything from anywhere else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَن يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. That whoever chooses anything else besides Islam, it will never be accepted from him. Taking this in the general meaning, taking this in the literal meaning, whoever chooses any other religion besides Islam, then it is not going to be accepted from him. And in the hereafter, he will be from those who will be depressed and who will be in nuqsan and who will not be in a good shape. And if we take it in a more general sense, then we can also take it to mean that anybody that does not take what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained through the Quran and the Prophet has told us through the ahadith and the ulama have explained it in the right way, which everybody is agreed upon, if you are not to take that, then it is also mardood and it is also thrown aside. مَنْ أَدْخَلَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدٌّ كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever enters anything into our religion that is not from there, that is some other idea, an idea that belongs to another faction, an idea that belongs to the social concept of America, or regardless of where it may be from, then it is not going to be accepted. This all comes together. أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَ. And then it says that whoever is not pleased with what Allah rules, and whoever does not make Allah the ultimate ruler and the ultimate judge in anything he does, then those people have no faith. It says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Whoever does not judge according to what Allah says, then those people are kafir, those people are disbelievers, because they are not taking Allah to be the ultimate authority. They do not accept Allah to be the ultimate authority, that whatever Allah has said will be what has to go. But they believe that maybe Allah didn't understand the social contemporary situation of today. That's why He forgot to mention this in the Quran and Hadith. This is the concept of some people. Some people actually believe that certain things were forgotten, or Islam is not an ultimate religion which is to see and give answers for every error that comes until the Day of Judgment. But they believe that maybe the Prophet or Allah didn't mention things of this nature. Today we need to reinterpret things. Today we need to re-understand things from our own logic. And this is totally a corrupt view. Because وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Quran is the ultimate form of guidance. And it has to be until the Day of Judgment. Now, if we take this word Sharia, what does it comprise of? Sharia comprises of five branches. Number one, the aqaid. Number two, ibadat. Number three, mu'amalat. And number four, mu'asharat. And number five, it is islahun nafs. So number one is the aqaid, which means the beliefs, the creed. What are the tenets of faith? What do you have to believe in about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What do you have to believe about the prophets? What do you have to believe about the hereafter? About the things which are unseen? Not to go into too much detail. Number two, it is the ibadat. Ibadat are those forms of worship which are between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We fast for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't fast for anybody else. It is an independent worship which we do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The salat, the hajj, the zakat, and all of these aspects are called ibadat. There have been books written about these subjects. They come under the title of fiqh or jurisprudence. Number three, it is the mu'amalat. Mu'amalat means how to conduct and contract a nikah, a wedding ceremony. How does the talaq function work in Islam? How do we buy and sell and deal? Islam doesn't tell us that you can only buy this thing and that thing and that thing. No, it gives us some general principles that, okay, there is swine which you cannot deal in. There is liquor and intoxicants which you cannot deal in. Other things it gives us permission for. But it tells us a way of dealing. Do not deal in any way which is going to lead to the oppression of the other person. Do not deal in any way which will lead to an ultimate argument, ultimate quarrel, and ultimate fight in your dealing. Whether it be in terms of hiring, renting, loaning, or in terms of buying and selling. The Sharia has given us all of this under the section of mu'amalat, which is the third one. And then number four is the mu'asharat, the social etiquette, how to walk, how to sit, how to look, how to knock on somebody's door and wait for him to answer, how many times you can knock. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that knock three times, and if the person does not open the door, then walk away. The person has a right to his privacy, not to continue standing there for an hour insisting that he must open the door for you. Islam gives us all privacy, the way to sleep, the way to wake up, what to read at different places, the way to eat, the way to use the bathroom, the way to answer the call of nature, what to do with your partner in the confines of your bedroom. Everything has been taken place in mu'asharat, and there are books written about mu'asharat. Islam has dealt with all of this. And last but not least, probably the ultimate thing which actually oversees everything else is the islah of the nafs, because a person will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will stand like this in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, raising his hands to his ears and then folding them beneath his navel or over his navel, and then praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can do these physical actions. But if there is no heartfelt desire to do this inside, or a good intention to do this, or the proper and correct intention to do this, then no great benefit will be received from this. If a person is fasting but at the same time he has hasad, he has jealousy, and he has anger over other people, and he expresses this anger and jealousy, then his fast becomes corrupt. So the last one is the islahun nafs, which we have tried to speak about in the last 2 weeks, and we will continue to speak about in detail, taking every aspect into account, is the islahun nafs, which means to reform the heart in our personal selves as an individual. Allah is the ultimate creator. He knows exactly what He is creating. He knows exactly our temperaments and our nature. He knows exactly what our knowledge and our limits of our knowledge, our limits of our intellect. He knows all of this very comprehensively to the last detail, and He has had all of these things written down in the Lawhul Mahfuz. Now, to ever criticize the Sharia, or to think that the Sharia is too difficult to follow, is actually trying to say that Allah has anger and strictness overwhelming Him. To say that Allah is more strict than anything else. That is why He has told us that you must do this, and we find it strict. If we find aspects of the Sharia to be strict in our perspective, then this is our own perspective. Allah can never make the Sharia too strict. If we find the Sharia too strict, then it is our own problem. And it is a chaos of our own mind. And it is the incoherence which is in our own mind. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have His faculty of anger or His faculty of strictness overwhelming the rahmah that He has. We can never say that the deen is too strict. Because that will be trying to say that Allah has just made it more too strict. What's too strict? Too strict means something which is out of moderation, which is excessive. To say that Allah is putting something on us which is excessive, that can never be so, because Allah does everything in moderation. He is the ultimate Hakim. The ultimate wisdom is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's actually, inna rahmati sabaqat ghadabi. And this is the reason why it is so important to stick to the moderation. And moderation can only be told to us and can only be gained by us through the Sharia and through the deen. Now if we were to take this akhlaq and try to understand it properly, I've been talking about akhlaq for the last 2 weeks. Exactly what is akhlaq? I explained it last week to be another dimension within us, which is the internal dimension. Let me explain it in another word today. Each person has feelings inside. The feelings, they are what reflect in actions. Depending on the person's feeling about something and the desire to obtain something, is how he will act and how his deeds will be shown on him. The ulama have written that the akhlaq is based on three faculties which every single human being has. Understand this carefully. There are three faculties within us which all our akhlaq, our moral character is based upon. Our self. What makes you as you? What makes me as me? How I am different than anybody else? What is it? This is based on three things. Those three are, first one is aql, intellect. Number two is desire, shahwa. And number three is ghadab, the faculty of anger. To be able to get up and do something, to have a feeling to do something. Each one of these three things have then three different stages. Let's take the first one, the aql. It has three stages. Either it can be in full moderation, a person uses his intellect. Either he can use it excessively, or he will not use it at all. There can only be three categories. If the person uses his aql excessively, if he makes ifrat, which means excessiveness and exaggeration in using his aql, then what will happen is it will lead him to where the philosophers were led. And it will lead him to even criticize and to condemn the wahi and not to accept the wahi and the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will think that he and his intellect is what the ultimate source of reasoning is. And that's where all his ideas will be made up and constructed from his own intellect. He will never have to look into anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said to be able to understand everything. But it will be what his aql has said. And it is not that Islam hasn't told us about everything. There was no need for these philosophers except the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except the direction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was no need for them to go and live in the forests and in the jungles like the old philosophers did. There was no need for that. Islam has everything. In fact, a very great scholar of Islam, Imam Ghazali, besides being such a great faqih, mufassir, muhaddith and so on, he was an ultimate philosopher. He took every philosopher's views and he viewed these and observed these and he criticized this, and eventually he came up with a work which was called Sahafitul Falasifa, which means the incoherence of the philosophers. He rendered all their theories to be totally incoherent, not to be following truly in the proper way. How can they be when it is made up and when it is thought of by some human being who has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah's theories have to be the ultimate and the most effective theories. So taking those, he looked at the theories of all the philosophers and he came up with a book called Tahafitul Falasifa. So Islam has everything. Now on the other hand, if there is tafreet in the intellect, somebody doesn't use his intellect, that will lead to stupidity. We will call the person dumb. So this is the first faculty. Number two, the shahwa. Quwwa shahwaniya. The desire to gain something. This again has ifrat and tafreet. This has an excessiveness and this also has shortcoming. If we look at the excessive way, then a person will not look at halal and haram and he will go and fulfill his desire with whoever he likes, whether it be his mother or sister, and commit incest. Regardless of who it may be, there will be no looking at the Sharia or any ultimate form of guidance. This is ifrat in using this faculty of desire. And if a person is making tafreed, if he has shortcoming and if he has a shortfall in using his desire, then he will be such a person who will not even fulfill his wife's rights. So this is a shortcoming. Islam doesn't tell us to go either way. It tells us to stay in the middle into moderation. And number three is the ghadab. If there is too much ghadab and too much anger, then a person will go and ravage without looking at what is good or bad, regardless of what is ethical or unethical, like the Serbs have done, and like the Russians are doing, and like the Jews are doing, and so on. Due to this anger in them against the Muslims, for whatever reason it may be, they are not looking at what is right or wrong, whether in worldly standards, whether according to their religion, whether ethically, unethically, they are going and massacring because they have a dominance over this ghadab. This faculty of theirs is out of proportion. And if we look on the other side, if there is a shortfall in ghadab, if a person doesn't have enough anger in him to even come up and do what he is required to do, then that is jubn, that is cowardice. And this is what our Muslim leaders are doing today. They see their Muslim brethren in all these Muslim countries being massacred by their enemies, their known enemies, historical enemies and new enemies, but they fail to do anything. Due to being subjugated, due to not having enough shuja'ah, due to not having enough anger, this faculty of theirs is also out of proportion. Now we understand by taking these 3, 6, 9, that the 3 ifrat, the 3 excessiveness, and the 3 shortfalling tafreet is something which is not accepted. They will lead to akhlaq radhila, akhlaq which is evil akhlaq, which is bad character. We need to stay in the middle line of moderation. If one of us has too much ghadab, it needs to be tuned down to the middle. If one of us doesn't have enough ghadab, if he is a person who the deen is criticized in front of him, he cannot say anything. If he is trodden upon, his wife, his family is oppressed against and he cannot do anything, just doesn't have enough ghadab and desire in him to do that, then this is jubn. He needs to build it up. In the same way, we have to work with our aql. We have to work with the shahwa, and we have to work with the ghadab. Now if we look at all of these three, the moderation in all of these things is called, in the intellect the moderation is called wisdom. When the person has this in proportion, and he is not too excessive either way, neither in ifrat or neither in tafreet, then this person is wise and he has wisdom. Number two, if a person uses his desire in the correct way, neither too excessively, and neither does he have any shortcomings in that, then this is called iffah, which basically means morality or chastity. This person is moral and chaste. He doesn't go into the wrong places, but he fulfills the rights of the right places. And number three, the ghadab. If that is perfect, and it is on the moderate level, it is called shuja'ah and bravery, not cowardice. All of these properties have to be brought in proportion to attain the ultimate character. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the ultimate character. La'ala khuluqin azim, as the Quran says. That he was on the ultimate character, the sublime character. And this is what he taught to the Sahaba. In less than 23 years, he managed to change those Arabs from the Arabian Peninsula that were regarded as totally wild and ignorant. He managed to change them into role models for each one of us sitting here today. In less than 23 years. And this is because he tuned these faculties within them to reach the ultimate character. If this character has to be moderated in each one of us, then there will be peace in the world, and then there will also be peace in our hearts, and we will not have the problems that we face today in terms of our psychological problems, in terms of the depression and so on and so on. Wa akhiru da'wana anna alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.